It's the Reality TV Happy Hour with Jordan Parhar. Because you can't spell Parhar without R-H-A-P.
R-H-A-P.
Reality TV Happy Hour. Reality TV Happy Hour.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to another edition of the Reality TV Happy Hour. My name is Jordan Parhar. And as always, on during the BBOTT season, I'm here with you after the live eviction to break down what just happened in the Big Brother Over the Top house with some good pals of mine. First is a man who's having a very, very great day. It's Brent Walkabout, ladies and gentlemen. Brent, how are you?
Yes, I'm having a great day. Not only did I win $3,000 at the casino, but if it was possible, everyone, I would kiss every one of you. And all of America said, like, no, bitch, no, 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 no. Chrissy, thank you, girl, bye.
yeah, no thanks. No thanks, Chrissy, we don't want that. And speaking of that, last but not least on the panel tonight is somebody who is probably the worst person I've ever met, probably ever, Alex Kidwell. Alex, how are you?
I may be the worst, Jordan, but aren't I also the fastest? Is that a word? Fastest? Fastest? Fastest?
Oh, man. What an interesting night. To be honest, I couldn't even really fully pay. I'll be honest with you guys in the audio archives. If you guys were following along live on Twitter, I couldn't fully focus on the episode tonight because it was game 7 of Cubs-Indians in the World Series. And I apologize for the late start time, but it was an amazing baseball game. Well, probably the best game I've ever seen in my life. Alex, I don't think that's hyperbole.
Yeah, quite possibly not.
Yeah, I mean, it was craziness. A great game. So great game, crazy game. So apologies for the late start and apologies if I'm off my game slightly tonight because I was multitasking, watching the OTT episode and watching the game at the same time. But what we're going to do for you guys tonight is we're going to talk about the eviction. We're going to talk about the upcoming HOH, and we're going to take your questions late night on robhasawebsite.com. We've got the chat room going, chatwing.com/happyhour if you want to check that out, or if you want to go to the show page on robhasawebsite.com. And we will take your questions on the show. If you want to send those in to me, you can tweet me using hashtag Rahappy Hour, and we will get into those later on in the show. All right, guys. Well, a sad night for some people tonight. Sad night for me in particular, because we lost my boy, the prince that was promised, the Virgin King. Is no longer with us, Brent. He has succumbed to America's vote and to the misfits. They finally got their way. Danielle finally had something go her way. We didn't hear your thoughts on the Tuesday episode, Brent, so on RHAP. So what are your thoughts on Scott leaving the BBOTT house?
Well, I'm flabbergasted to hear you tell because you're the one who was on Twitter saying, nominate Scott. I'm the captain of the misfits. Didn't you?
Well, it wasn't me on Twitter. Here's what happened. I said jokingly on the podcast, I said, hey, Taryn, on Friday, I was with Alex and Taryn. I was like, hey, you know what? We can't control the vote. I'll say that we should put up Scott, and that won't even happen. And what happened? Scott went on the block, and Scott went home. And someone tweeted me and blamed me and said, Jordan, this is all your fault.
I know,
for
and
joking
I favorited
about it.
That tweet, too. So, to answer your question.
I responded, and I jokingly said, yes, this was my master plan all along. No, it wasn't my master plan. I was kidding around. And, again, I don't think this was my doing. I think this was other people getting on board and
of
saying,
course
hey, let's
it was.
Go Scott.
Of course
cat's
it was.
Out of the bag now, Jordan.
Right, exactly. So, my thoughts on Scott leaving are that I have amended my previous amendment of Danielle's play. I didn't like where she was going heading into this week. I liked where she was headed as the week was progressing, but now I'm back to hating her game again. I don't really like what she accomplished this week. I think she accomplished very little. I think Scott would have stood by, at least for the time being, if Danielle had saved him and done what she originally said she was going to do. Whitney, I am not convinced, is with the misfits. I think she's going to go wherever the power goes. So I don't think they gained anything by keeping Whitney in the house. And not only that, I think she might have made matters worse because Whitney it doesn't look like she's going to win HOH at the current time because she just maxed out on time. But if she gets co-HOH, she might target Danielle, who's the person just saved her this week by virtue of her relationship with Justin, who is not a big fan of Danielle himself. So I don't think Danielle, I think she just shot herself in the foot with this move. I think she got a little too cute. I think Jason got a bug in her ear. So kudos to him, but I didn't like what Danielle did.
Yeah, we got a question. This one's from Iron Pony Chef, and Iron Pony Chef asks, was Danny's HOH an overall failure since she lost standing in her alliance? Alex Kidwell, you've walked these BB streets for 14 years. What do you think about what Brent just said?
No, I think there's definitely truth to it. I was talking about it a little bit on the last show we did that I think this is a great move, much better for her alliance members than it is for her herself personally. Because, yeah, we're getting to that stage of the game where you don't necessarily want to be looking at protecting people who are a degree of separation away from you. You want people in the house now who are indebted to you and not someone you're close to, not someone you care about, but you. And the problem is that Whitney, she looks at her loyalty and it's, you know, Justin and Jason and even Chrissy before it's Danielle. So I get why it's good for her side. I don't think it's necessarily good for her. She had a better chance of being able to work with Alex or Scott. And so as a result, I think she loses an option here that maybe could have been available down the road. Whereas that option is still there for some of her, you know, some of the people that are still in similar position as her.
So, Brent, if we look at this, then hypothetically, I mean, when the HOH competition is happening right now, we'll get into that a little later. Doesn't look like, from my perspective, that Whitney is going to win.
No, she can't win. She maxed out. So if they all maxed out, then I guess they'll go to a tiebreaker. But like, it would take everybody maxing out at this point, 30 minutes each time, because they're doing. And just to go back and explain for those of you who are not watching the live feeds right now, it's the face morph competition. They're all secluded in a room. They've drawn numbers randomly to go in a certain order. Whitney drew number one. She was out there for the maximum time allowed, 30 minutes, could not get it right. And now she's currently waiting up in the HOH room with Danielle, and they're watching the next person go, who I believe is Alex at this point. Mm-hmm. So I have to believe that somebody's going to do it within the allotted time, and we'll see what happens. But right now, it doesn't look like Whitney's going to be HOH, and care package week for the co-HOH, though, so it certainly is possible that Whitney could be voted co-HOH. But
that was what I was going to ask you, Brent, is if Whitney is voted as the co-HOH and she's forced to choose between the Plastics or the Misfits, where do you think she's going to swing?
I think it's going to be exactly like what happened with Michelle during Big Brother 18. She's going to go wherever the current HOH wants her to go. Like, I do not see Whitney as somebody who's going to fight for her own agenda. I think she's going to go wherever the current HOH wants her to go. If somebody from the Misfits side wins, she's going to be flipped over to them. And if somebody from the Ball Smasher side wins, it's going to be like she never left them. You know, so I think she'll work with them. She's not going to go out on her own. I don't see her doing that. And it, frankly, it wouldn't behoove her game at this point to even do that, to draw a line in the sand and say, I'm definitely here, not here. She wants to continue to float in the middle. That's the best place for her game currently. I don't know if she realizes she's actively doing that, but it is the result of what her game is doing right now.
Alex, let's talk about Scott a little bit more. Just briefly, let's eulogize the Virgin King here. What is Scott's legacy ultimately going to be on Big Brother? How are we going to remember Scott?
Probably as the Ronnie who didn't implode for an extra week, or where like the full effects of the implosion didn't take root for an extra week or two. But I mean, really similar in that. You know, unlike Ronnie, he wasn't trying to be as duplicitous. Ronnie was really trying to, like, work a lot of game and, you know, he played way too hard, way too fast. Scott, I don't know if it was necessarily just that so much as his style just rubbed everyone the wrong way. And also, this was a cast that wasn't going to tolerate a lot of, you know, someone who was going to try to, like, talk strategy with everyone. Like, something about certain people are, you know, it bothers them to see a player like Scott who wants to like always keep options open and talk to everyone. There were a lot of people on this season that just wanted to like stick with their friends and have that be the end of it. And so if you see someone like Scott running around and violating that ideal, then you don't want to work with him and you don't want to play with him. And so he's never really been able to get himself out from under that cloud all season long.
But it wasn't just that and other people's perceptions of Scott. It was also Scott and his own gameplay, his insane inability to lie to people. Like, he always told people the truth for the most part. And it really bugs people. It bugged Alex for a while until she sort of got used to the idea, oh my God, this guy is actually telling me the truth, and he will literally fall on his sword for me. Oh my God, let's try to keep him. You know, and it even bugged Shelby this week when he told Shelby to her face, you know, I will never vote you out of the house unless Alex is on the block next to you, and then I'd have to vote you out. Well, you know, like, why don't you just announce to everybody that you're basically in love with Alex? That's how it came off. It could have been really fun. It could have been a very fun, like, hidden power couple, but instead it's totally out in the open, or was totally out in the open. And I didn't really care for it. He also... I'm really disappointed in him. And by the way, I love Scott, our Virgin King. I would love to have him on the podcast. I know he's going to go back and watch these shows. But he did really miss the forest for the trees. He started playing a team game. Like, girl, you don't get any credit for pushing your girls forward and you taking one for the team. There's one winner at the end, $250,000. It could have been you. I still maintain if Scott could have got to the end, he would have had a great underdog story. He could have won. All he had to do was make a couple deals with the other side, but he was so indebted to the Ball Smasher side because they protected him. He just could not divorce himself from that. And I feel like the better game players in the Big Brother universe would have been able to save themselves.
Yeah, ultimately, yeah, the main legacy is going to be that whether it was with the quote-unquote four horsemen at the beginning or then with the Ball Smashers who didn't fully include them, Scott was always sticking his neck out to protect people who were never willing to stick their neck out to protect him.
Alex, because from my perspective, I was really I was impressed with how Scott handled his eviction tonight. When he got voted out, he hugged everyone, said good game, and he walked out the door. Even did the little clap. He did the
right. The little I was clap. Living
yeah,
for that.
He clapped himself. Yeah, right.
Yeah, yeah.
So you can't say that was like bitter and in Neely's ear anymore because he did it to himself.
Yeah, that was pretty good. I was a big fan of the self clap. Scott knew Alex that he was going home. Correct. How was he handling the news that he was going to go home?
I mean, he was trying to have a little last bit of fun on the feeds, but then again, a lot of it was just kind of soliloquy and like, well, I did the best I could. I had a lot of fun, that kind of thing, which is probably what you would expect someone who's been watching live feeds for a long time to be saying when he knows his time on the feeds is running out. It did kind of feel like, kind of the doomed man's last barter with the Lord to a degree. But with Scott talking to the cameras about in my life, I've done some things in my time in this house and for better or worse. And reconciling before death. But
right.
Yeah, I do think that ultimately, he wasn't necessarily entertaining as he thought he was at times. Maybe that was a bit of, the downfall. Like he, I don't know if he necessarily saw how things came across all the time, but relative to a lot of people in the house, I thought he was actually pretty perceptive for the most part at like what America would respond to. This is what America's probably thinking right now. You know, a lot of people are speculating about that stuff in the house, and a lot of people are really, really wrong. And Scott's actually been right a few times, so I give him some credit there.
The Virgin King, we will miss you, but
by the way,
go
just
ahead,
to give
Brent.
Him some credit, Neely, girl, if you're watching, that's how you exit a house, for real. He had some class, he knew it was coming, he knew there was a good possibility he was going to be evicted, and he took it in stride and hugged everybody. He didn't badmouth anybody out the door, he considered it, he wanted to blow up Jason's game, he ultimately decided against doing it, and I applaud him for it. There are some people who do that, and we applaud them for that, but I'm going to give Scott some credit here for being the bigger man and smiling on his way out the door and making the rest of them who were judging him look like assholes that they are.
Yeah, I thought he looked really mature. You know, fight as hard as you want. Fight as hard as you can while you're in the game. But when your game is over, smile, tip your hat and walk out like a classy, like someone who recognizes that you just played a game and got beat. You know what I mean? That's all this is. You got beat. And I think when you compare that to the way Shane left a couple weeks ago and just ran Scott through the dirt and is still to this day tweeting pictures of Scott as a rat on Twitter and stuff like that, it just speaks volumes to like, dude, you look so, so pathetic and petty
so
right now.
So petty.
This dude,
so
Scott,
petty.
Is already over it. He was evicted tonight. You were evicted weeks ago and you still can't let it go, man. Like, that's pretty sad.
And Danielle has moved on. Girl, bye.
But yeah, big shout out to Scott. We supported Scott, you know, on this show. Not everything that he did, but I think Scott, deep down, I do think, regardless of whether you think Scott is annoying or whatever, Scott's a nice guy, and we saw that tonight. And I'm sure we'll hear from him on the podcast at some point down the road. So looking forward to talking to Scott in the future. Let's talk a little bit about just the episode recap tonight, guys. Brent, I was in the RHAP fans chat while I was semi-watching the episode and watching the baseball game, and I saw that people were complaining about the edit, saying that they were making the Misfits look really good. Is that correct based on what you saw?
I mean, I don't know if they made them look good. I mean, I think there were times that they made them look bad too, but they probably gave them a more positive edit by showing Danielle screaming at Scott. On the other hand, they showed Scott acting very mature in the face of Danielle and Jason yelling at him. I think on balance, it was probably a pretty fair edit, and I'm no fan of the Misfits, but I think there was a little bit of sympathy to be had on their part because of the fact that they did lose Neely. Then they won HOH, but they lost the care package. And I think they thought for sure that one of them was going to be nominated for eviction. And that's why they were a bit down. And so the edit correctly reflected that. So I don't have a problem with the edit for tonight's episode.
Yeah, I mean, give them credit. Based on how we've seen, you know, everyone in this house behave at different times, you know, very easily Neely could have been evicted and they could have reacted, you know, how could you, America? Like, we've seen Jason kind of lash out at the cameras before when he doesn't understand the decision that's coming from, quote unquote, on high from the viewers. And that's not really what they did. I mean, call it just a sinking realization of the situation, and that maybe before they were confident and all that confidence was like sucked out of them in that moment. But for whatever reason, they didn't act the same way this past week as they were acting the week before. Like, even Chrissy was much more subdued, much less inclined to, you know, talk about like, well, this is what America wants to see and this is what, you know, people should be doing. And it's like, when you stop, you know, delivering lines like that, like, you stop rubbing people the wrong way and people begin to forget what it was about you that made them want to vote against you in the first place. And then just look at the power dynamic.
Did you guys notice that on the edit they showed, so during the HOH comp, and I don't know if you guys went back and watched the HOH comp from last week that Danielle won, but it was somebody from production that was reading the questions to them, but in the episode tonight, it was Julie Chen's questions edited in.
I was like, girl, where'd you come from? Like, they just literally edited Julie's questions into the episode? For what reason exactly? Like, we all knew you weren't there. It was,
you probably
just
heard us talking about it, though.
I mean, it was just odd. It was such an odd decision on their part to do that. And not only that, they skipped the question that they all missed. So that screws. I know some people in the chat room were like, where's the question that they all missed? Well, they edited it out. So I don't understand the point of bringing Julie in. I mean, look, from my point of view, as someone who's been watching the feeds, Julie has not really been a part of the season. I don't even know why she's really there. I really don't. And I love Julie Chen. I love the Chen bot, but she's not on the eviction episode for some ungodly reason. I don't know why they don't have her there for this. Then they have her on the day after for sort of some stilted question and answer period where they're all in a room together and they can't be honest about their true feelings because the other house guests are sitting right in front of them. It just seems like a very poor choice on their part. If you're going to have Julie Chen, if you're going to have the Chen bot, put her on the damn eviction show and put her out there for the HOH competition. That's what she's there for, okay? She's not there to ask questions of the house guests and make nice with them. It was a bad call.
Yeah, I don't understand why they just don't get Big Jeff or something like that
right?
to do. And I've said this before, for the couch segment, because Alex, why do we even, and do we even need this, the couch segment every week with, you know, we get the live DRs, we get to hear the house guest perspective on a lot of things. I mean, maybe it would be nice for them to see the pizza video and stuff like that, but I don't know. They're still getting, you know, people were complaining saying, well, hey, it's not good that the house guests see Justin's pizza video because then they know he's popular and it's going to
exactly.
put a target on his back.
Exactly. That was, well, I hated that aspect.
That's why I think there should be more of that with everyone. Like, try to incorporate, you know, more house guests into that. If you're going to do Justin's pizza video, then find that video of Scott dancing in the, you know, yoga room and play that for everyone too.
And
find
show Jason
some other stuff.
Twerking and,
right. Find
Danielle
multiple
walking around
videos
with the clothes off. Yeah,
that exist, that are out there, that can allow you to not just send a one-sided message that can allow you to like present more of a, you know, circular view on like, oh, well, maybe we don't know what America's thinking because every week they're showing us a different person. And so we don't necessarily know. So, yeah, I think you go all or nothing in that respect. You don't really walk the line.
All right, let's talk about the live DRs, guys. Those happened last night. Brent, any eye-opening things you saw from watching those?
I was sort of taken aback with how much Whitney was so indecisive about where she's at in the house right now. She seemed really self-aware of the fact, and I know this seems obvious to us on the outside, of how she feels like she's at the bottom of the ball smashers, but she's not willing to let go of them at this point. She still wants to actively try to be with them because she feels a bond with them. On the other hand, she feels like Justin really has her back. That relationship has really blossomed in the last week. You know, never underestimate. I know people like Rob is always talking about how he hates the food competition and why do we still have have-nots. But the ramifications of making Whitney and Justin have-nots at the same time bore fruit on this game and really changed a few of the dynamics because they got to spend a lot of alone time together without any real questions from the other house guests. The other house guests know their have-nots, so they've got to be in the have-not room together. So they're not even considering why they're in there talking and getting close to each other. And I think that was definitely something that I certainly missed when I was considering who I wanted for have-nots last week. I never really considered that that might bring them together.
Yeah, and I don't think a lot of people consider that, but as somebody who's played the game, I think for sure it definitely is plays a role because for me, whenever I was have-not, I would always feel, oh, well, you know, me and so-and-so, we have this bond because we are going through this together. We're facing the slop adversity together. So right. Definitely it does bring people together more strongly. Alex, anything other than Whitney's discussion from the live DRs that stood out for you? Or nothing really?
Not too much. You know, that's the big story this week is that, you know, for so long, these sides have been pretty rooted in stone. And now you finally got Whitney kind of like shifting, you know, like it's like the first person who's like uprooted themselves and like kind of flowed back into the middle in a long time. And it hasn't worked out too well for people so far. But yeah, it'll be interesting to see this week because there's a lot of different, you know, certainly the three girls that are together right now, the Alex, Morgan, Shelby, they're in a tight spot in most scenarios, I think. But if they were to somehow win this HOH competition and then, you know, depending on who gets co-HOH, it'll be interesting to see, do they want to target the people that are perceived as like the quote unquote heads of the other side in maybe Jason or a Chrissy or a Danielle, or do they want to target the people that maybe they feel betrayed them, like Whitney or maybe even Justin.
Now, Brent, it's going to be, this is a pretty big HOH here. I mean, yes, there, you know, the person doesn't have all of the power because there's this co-HOH thing going on. However, as you mentioned with the Whitney situation, if it is someone like Whitney who does happen to get the co-HOH,
and I'm not campaigning for that yet.
And you're not campaigning. Okay. So what I want to know is, what, you know, let's talk about the two scenarios, because I don't think, just looking at how long this competition is taking, I don't think we're going to be able to finish recording by the time the HOH ends. So if we are looking at it from the misfit side of things, if one of them wins the HOH, what are you going to support in terms of the care package? Who are you going to push for co-HOH? Are you going to push for Morgan? Or
yes,
gonna...
if a misfit wins HOH, we have to support Morgan for America's Care Package, period, end of story, has to be Morgan, must be someone, no other person other than Morgan, has to be Morgan for America's Care Package if the misfits win HOH. If, however, Alex or Shelby or Morgan win head of household, then I am totally fine doing Whitney, because I feel like she would follow the ball smasher. She's a follower. Let's be honest. I feel like Whitney really is a follower. She's not a gamer. The reason let's go back a little bit. The reason her ass ended up on the block at the beginning of this week is because she was the one who wasn't playing the game. I was literally in the chat room exhorting her the entire time going, bitch, your ass ended up on the block because you didn't play the game. Other people were playing the game around you. Well, you were letting the game being played, hoping for the best. And when you hope for the best and you don't make deals with the HOH, your ass ends up on the block. So I was glad that she ended up following through with Danielle's plan when presented with her, when that deal was presented by Danielle and say, if I take you off the block, will you vote the way I want to? She said yes, as she should. So good for her. But it wasn't like she did any great strategy this week in order to get herself off the block. The opportunity basically fell in her lap.
Would you agree with that, Alex? Because I know you've said in the past that Whitney would be really great at the regular game of Big Brother, but not so much at OTT.
I think she would certainly be a lot better. I've seen moments from Whitney where I'm like, oh, this girl's very perceptive. She's very calculated, and she doesn't let on as much as she's actually got going on, which to me are like really strong signs of someone's potential in Big Brother. But then there are also these times where, you know, like she wasn't able to not get herself on the block. Like there are certain times where it's like you think she should be able to make something happen. She has a better – she should be able to get that relationship with Danielle to the point where she's able to just not get nominated. But she's not. And then, she, you know, kind of this whole reaction is maybe not necessarily the best play from her. Like, work to get yourself off the block. Work to get Danielle to use the veto on you. But find a way to do it so that's not so overtly obvious, potentially, that you must have made a deal. And, you know, immediately go back and spend time with the Ball Smashers. Like, don't give them that moment in the bathroom where they're sitting there talking about how it's, you know, very clear you must have betrayed them. Like, as soon as that ceremony's over, go be with them. Those are the people who you need to be putting in work with at that moment. So I think there's been a couple missteps from Whitney lately. But I like I said, it's been mostly potential and things I've seen from her at times where I'm like, I'd like to see how this could be applied if charisma and entertainment were not factors here.
You know who she reminds me of? I'm not gonna say the name, but she reminds me of someone from last season's Big Brother Canada 4. That when the heat is put under her, she doesn't do so well. Okay, so there are some people who play this game, and they can play this game fine when things are going their way, and when they're not in the forefront, they're more in the background. But all of a sudden, when the heat is under you, and you have to make a call, or your ass is on the line, some people don't perform really well. Some people do perform really well, but some people don't. And I don't feel like Whitney has performed that well when she's had pressure to do things, namely try to reconstruct the bonds of her alliance after she blatantly betrayed them by getting herself off the block and getting Morgan put up in her place. She knew what was going to happen. She knew what was going to happen at the veto ceremony. She should have had a plan. I'm okay. Once this happens, I'm going to go to the Ball Smashers. I'm going to empathize with them. I'm going to say, I don't know how this happened. You know, I don't know what her plan is, but I'm with you guys. You guys need to know that. Do not doubt me. Instead, she sat on her ass on the couch and just let them talk about her and get mad at her. And those bonds are they're tough to reconstruct once they're broken.
Yeah, like the narrative is going to be created after that moment. And if you can have any control over what that is, and if you can have any say in shaping that, it really behooves you to, like, it's going to be hard to kind of put on a fake face in that moment and go do that. But that really has to be what you do.
Just to look at things from a different perspective in terms of what fans of the Misfits should do or should want to do if, hypothetically, one of Alex, Morgan, or Shelby wins the HOH, wouldn't it kind of make sense for them to support Jason as the care package winner because him and Justin, aren't those two the most obvious targets for that side of the house if it happens to be Whitney as the co-HOH and one of those three Ball Smashers as the other HOH? Because those are the only two on that side of the house that have not gotten care packages, I guess. I guess other than Danielle, but I feel like those two are the obvious two. No, Brent?
I'm not really liking Jason lately. Okay, I'm just gonna put that out there. I feel like he's been really judgy with Scott. I feel like he can't even look in the mirror. Like his whole thing about on the edited show tonight about, well, you know, I was doing that just because I'm an asshole the way I treat Shelby, but you were doing it for game. So what? That makes you the better person, Jason? Like, you're just generally an asshole to Shelby, so that makes you the better person that Scott is doing it for game. He's actively choosing to do it. It just, like, wanted to just slap him. Like, that was total nonsense, total insincere complaining. He obviously just got his ass handed to him in a 4-3 vote. Like, just act like the bigger man, tip your hat, like Alex says, and move on to the next week. Instead, he just acted like a judgmental bitch that he is. And yes, I said it. So no, I don't want him to be co-HOH this week.
I will say on popularity polls that I've seen lately, like Danielle, I don't think she's ever – she hasn't been this high in a long time, and Jason hasn't been this low in a long time. So the idea that like Jason is definitely a shoe-in on that side over a Danielle, I don't necessarily buy into that. I do think Justin, like people would want to wait and not give him this. But then again, you don't know, because if you want to wait and not give this to Justin – like, could be SOL. Maybe it's too late. I don't know. Yeah.
I really do, though. Forward. I feel like we have to wait and give the advance to the final four to Justin, because there's no way he's going to survive that gauntlet of final six, final five. He's just not. We have to get him to the final four. Maybe that final four veto or HOH will be something he can, you know, pull out a win and get himself to the final three. But I feel like we have to save that for Justin. So, I mean, like, my current plan, as I have a plan, is to give co-HOH to Whitney, assuming that Alex, the side of the house, wins head of household. Give Morgan the veto next week during the double eviction, and then give the advance to the final four to Justin. I've got it all laid out, people. This is what I want to have happen. And by the way, I also want to make a note that I believe that this coming week is the last week that America can nominate anybody, because next, the week after that will be the double eviction, and I have to think after that it's going to stop. So I'm pretty sure this week is the last week we can nominate somebody. Y'all better do me proud and nominate Chrissy. I cannot believe we're going to go an entire season and not nominate Chrissy for eviction. Please make it happen. And by the way, I think Danielle's popularity now will make sure that everybody knows to vote for Chrissy, not Danielle. Because even though I think she made some missteps this week, I love Danielle from a baller point of view. Like, she's been balling out, she, you know, winning the HOH competition, winning the veto, making a big move. I didn't agree with the move, but she made a big move. So I think everybody will definitely try to nominate Chrissy this week if you are anti-misfits.
Yeah, I don't like to, you know, go up out on a limb and say anything, but I am 100,000% this time. I'm not messing around. I'm sorry to those of you who are mad at me for jokingly saying put up Scott. It happened. I'm sorry. But this time, guys, put up Chrissy. Let's put her up on the block. I'm not going to, you know, no ifs, ands, or buts about it. Let's just get her up there. Because like Brent said, if this is the last time, this is the last chance we have to get Chrissy on the block, this has got to be it, Alex Kidwell.
Yeah, no, please. I was down to make this happen last week, so yeah, go for it. And to Brent's other point about why Justin is perfect for the last care package, remember, it's not an automatic pass from like final five to final four. It is the chance to play a game for the right to get that. And
oh, come on!
What, like, you think it's a game everyone can win?
I think it's a game that Big Brother will make sure that Justin can win. How's
well,
that?
Well, if what happened on what day is in there at all, Justin's in trouble no matter what happens.
No. This is going to be like, I don't know, get the ball to the hole or something.
I think it's going to be like a big board game in the backyard, like Big Brother Canada 2 Final Four. And Justin's going to have to like work his way through the board or something. I hope it's something good, cool and elaborate like that.
Yeah, that was a cool comp. I would like that.
Comp.
Yeah, yeah, that was a Marshall Land. Great competition.
Yeah.
Okay, so we'll have to stay tuned for that. But and in terms of who we're supporting for the care package, just follow Brent on Twitter at @OneLuckyGay, and Brent's our HOH. So just do what he says.
And by the way, just so that we know what we're heading into this week, there are 8 people left in the house currently. There's going to be an HOH and a co-HOH, so obviously those people can't vote. There's going to be up to 3 people on the block. Now, whichever side gets screwed by America, that's the side that's not going to have the power. So, like, let's say that that the HOH and the co-HOH are from different sides of the house. They each nominate one person from their side. From the opposing side, and then America picks a side. If we nominate Chrissy, then the Ball Smashers are going to have the votes. It's going to be a 2-1 vote. You see what I mean? As long as the veto doesn't get used. So, that's where we're at.
But if we end up in a situation where the veto gets used on America's nominee, then that person comes off.
Then,
so then
it would then be a 2-2 vote, and the HOHs probably wouldn't be able to agree. And in that case, as I noted on Twitter, I have no confirmation of this from Big Brother, but like they said in Big Brother All-Stars and in Big Brother Season 7, if the two HOHs couldn't agree on who to evict in a tiebreaker vote, the tiebreaker went to the winner of the power of veto. So I'm sure that's what would probably happen this season. If it was a 2-2 vote and the HOHs couldn't agree on who to evict, I'm sure that the winner of the power of veto would be the person who...
Okay, I didn't realize that was the...
It depends
all
on
I
if
remember...
there are three or two and if America's vote is there or not. I mean, obviously America's vote will be there, but it depends on how many nominees there are.
Okay, I did not realize that. I thought it was just the only thing I remember from week one of Big Brother All-Stars was if the HOHs could not agree on a nominee, they would both go on the block.
Right, in a tiebreaker scenario, though, Will and Boogie went to them and said, what happens if the HOHs can't agree? They said the winner of the power veto. Janelle was the winner of the power veto that week, and she wanted Allison out. So, because remember, Will and Boogie initially were trying to get Danielle out of the house, remember?
Yes, yes. I do remember.
Yeah, and they would have done it, but they didn't have the votes.
No.
Yes. By the way, just to be clear, if there are three people on the block, then obviously there's three people voting in the House, but obviously America's vote would make it four people voting. So that's when the 2-2 scenario would come into play.
Okay. So we'll have to stay tuned for that. Should be an interesting week, depending on how this comp goes. Alex, any update on the HOH comp?
Ah!
No. Alex is still going.
This is really tough, by the way. Like, Alex is the second person, and she is doing... almost as bad as Whitney is doing. Like, she is, like, the funny part is she goes out there and the thing says time to beat 30 minutes, which is exactly how much time you get to start with. So she totally knows Whitney blew it. And she's already lost half of her time. And I mean, it's hard to tell that she's doing any better than Whitney. She keeps changing her right answers.
All right. Well, we'll stay tuned for that. The results of that, we probably won't know before the end of this show, but we will keep you posted if anything interesting happens. Let's jump into your questions. Again, you can send those in to me by using hashtag RaHappyHour on Twitter. I am at Jordan Parhar. This question comes from Cassidy Elkin. Cassidy says, have we ever gone this long without a unanimous vote in a season, with this being the first one? I was trying to think. I didn't have time during the game to pull anything up. I guess, like, maybe in the earlier seasons, Alex, does anything jump to mind for you in terms of split votes? Like, I know in Canada recently we had a long stretch at the start of the season where there weren't any, but I feel like, yeah, it's what, week five, and this is the first one. That's very rare.
I don't know. I mean, I've seen a lot. I feel like a lot this season has reminded me of Big Brother 15, because the MVP really set up the early HOHs to all pretty much have the HOH backfire on them. So that's, to me, the closest comparison still, where you had who was the first HOH?
In BB 15?
Yeah.
That was McCray.
Yeah, right. But yeah, he ended up getting, yeah. So, you know, David Gurton and Nick Juhas and all these people who aren't necessarily the targets, but are the MVP, just keep going up and going home via America. And yeah, I mean, and it wasn't until the mid game where the MVP goes away that you start seeing people play kind of more straight up Big Brother. Yeah, I think that's probably the closest.
All right. So there we go. Brent, any seasons that come to mind for you, or you co-sign that?
I don't co-sign it, but I can't think of anything else.
All right. So by default, you co-sign it.
Yes.
Okay. This question comes from Walt Reed. I think we've discussed this on the podcast before, but hey, why not talk about it again? He says, how much do you think CBS is using BBOTT as a minor league tester series to bring up popular players to Big Brother proper? So Brent, do you think Big Brother is going to take anything, any of these concepts or any of these people from OTT and bring them into a future US season? Personally, I don't think so.
Personally, I don't think so, except some of the comps. I think the comps are designed by a new team, if I'm not mistaken.
Yes, I believe so.
And some of these comps have been really, really fun. I have to tip my hat to them. Some of they've been very creative and not necessarily all that expensive. So, you know, you can get more bang for your buck. So I hope that they go that way. I swear to God, if I see that slip and slide one more freaking time, like, I'm going to throw my computer in the river. Like, I just can't with that. It's like, oh, it's week seven. Here comes the slip and slide again. What do you know? Like,
you're talking about OTEV, Brent?
OTEP, yeah, or are you talking about the the big scoop or the
little
scoop?
I'm talking about the one where they all fall down. No, not OTEP. Yeah, yeah, yeah. If it was OTEP, I'd call it OTEP. I'm talking about the slip and slide, the one where they got to fill up the thing with the popcorn juice or the grape juice or the wine or whatever the hell they're putting in it to get the ball out of the thing.
Okay,
yeah.
Good.
The Crisco comp. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. That's dope, Brent. Because I would have been upset if you were anti OTEV. I mean, come on. You gotta be all about
that. One's all about the slipping and the sliding too, though.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's right. What was it? Was it Big Meech who like crashed this season? And Victor was like no bueno. And Meg. Yeah. Good times. dope. This one comes from John Densford. John says, if Alex wins HOH, she has to put up just Jason and Justin, pre-knowing the care package, right? Yeah. So what's the Alex Kidwell? What do you think Alex, sister Alex's game plan is if she happens to win this HOH? Although right now it doesn't seem like that's going to happen.
Yeah, well, I don't know if that would be her plan, but that probably should be her plan, because Danielle is actually the person who I think is the person that, if you're Alex, you need to try to develop something with now. Going forward, you know, a two sides thing, like, it doesn't behoove you to try to maintain that if you're about to be the HOH. You need to start setting yourself up for an individual game. This is where we're at now. And Danielle recognizes that, you know, Jason and Justin are a tight pair. Chrissy is closer with those guys. They've used the veto on Chrissy. They haven't used the veto on her. Alex has there's room to maneuver there. And Alex has just lost her ally. Danielle lost Shane, who is her number one. That's the person that I think if you win power, that's the person you need to start building something with.
Brent, Alex has got a tough road ahead of her. Can she turn this around, in your opinion?
Yeah, she can turn it around. I mean, she just needs to have her side pull out a comp win and be able to get something done. I do think that if she targeted Jason, and obviously I have my personal reasons for that at this point because I'm sort of annoyed with him right now, although my opinion can change just like it changed with other house guests. But I do think that that would help her cause, because Jason is the bug in the ear of all the people on that side. Justin is willing to kind of do his own thing, and I don't think is really a comp threat in any of these comps that are coming up down the line. Danielle, I think, is willing to work with her. And at this point, I hate to say it, but if we don't get Chrissy out this week, I think she should be dragged to the end as a goat. Like, they don't know she's a goat yet, but they're going to know it pretty soon when we nominate her, hopefully. And they realize that maybe she isn't as popular as she thinks she is. So it is a tough road to hoe, but she should get rid of. First of all, I know that Alex wants to get rid of Jason. She doesn't like Jason. She thinks he's a snake. She thinks that he's the reason why Whitney is not totally loyal to them anymore, which is, you know, arguably true, but it's just Jason playing the game, so I'll give him that.
But Alex, I mean, that's Alex's fault, not Jason's.
Yeah, of course, and I grant you that. Yeah, I'm not mad at Jason for that, but his judgmental bitchiness I could do without. But his gameplay has been on point so far, or at least more on point than it has been in the past.
All right, let's take another question. This one is from Wesley Lester. Wesley says, who would make the best feats by winning HOH tonight? How funny was it, Alex, yesterday when Taryn got so mad about the team good feats thing?
So great.
I didn't realize like his circuits were really like they were frying. Like, he was so mad. It was awesome.
Yeah, well, you just have to know which buttons to push, Jordan.
Yeah, right. If I had a bell, I would ding it right there. Yeah. But who, in your opinion, Alex, what would be, in terms of entertainment, what would be the best outcome this evening?
Good question.
Shelby?
It'd be interesting
maybe
to see Shelby win, but the idea that Shelby's going to win this thing is a bit of a pipe dream in my mind. I don't know.
I'm starting to think that no one will win this competition. Alex is not a dumb girl. She's very smart, and she is all over the place in this competition.
Yeah.
And they didn't exactly do it in such a way where, like, it's not like there are 12 house guests and there are 12 spots. You know, some names are being used more than once. There are, what, 14 different slots, and there are only 13 house guests. Yeah, so there's seven morphs, so there's 14 different slots to fill in, and there are 13 people in the house, so obviously some people are going to be used more than once, but you can't use that to eliminate other people. You know how you can in the past when there's, if there's, 10 people in the house and 10 people up on the morph, you know that, you know that you can't use one more than once. That's what I'm trying to say to you. And they've made this one really hard. So
yeah, that does sound super difficult. So I guess maybe what they'll figure out is instead of going by time, maybe they'll just give HOH to whoever got the most right.
Yeah, I don't know what it'll come down to. Alex is in the rules. Alex is 5 minutes away from timing out right now. If everyone goes 30 minutes, yeah, I'm curious to see what that means.
I don't think they would do that. I think that they would probably give everybody a tie break. All eight house guests would, or seven house guests, considering Danielle's outgoing HOH, would probably just come down and do a you know, how many balls were in the yard and who gets the closest number. I mean, because they didn't announce that going into this, that was part of the rules. So I can't believe that they would just pull that out of their ass at the last minute. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I mean, we'll give it time. There have only been two people that have gone. I've got faith. Somebody's got to get this.
Well, yeah.
Jason's done stuff like this before.
Yeah,
so,
I think I can see Jason.
Was he around when they did the morph comp? I can't remember.
No, I don't think so.
I don't know. I don't know if he was. But I mean, Jason's a BB. He's a BB historian.
He's seen some morph comps,
Jordan,
in his day.
I'm a BB historian, and I'm looking at these faces, and I can't really tell. So I'm like,
bad faces.
They did a really good job with these morphs. Almost too good of a job.
Yeah, and I guess that's what happens when you do have a new competition team, is they don't realize their power. They can underestimate it sometimes. So, yeah, maybe we'll keep an eye on that. That would be quite hilarious if literally everyone times out and they just go to, yeah, how many balls were in the backyard? Like something stupid like that. Okay, let's take another question. All right. This one is from Taz Biscuit. Taz Biscuit says, will the house guest scene as unpopular rise up against America's favorites? Should Alliance Lions be loved or hated? Okay. So first off, let's just talk about the popularity a little bit. Alex Kidwell, you said there have been some changes in the popularity based on what you've been seeing. You said Jason is down, Danielle is up. Any other major changes?
Chrissy's still below a lot of people who have been evicted. And yeah, everyone else, I mean, pretty much, you know, yeah, you've got like Alex, Shelby, Justin still riding very high, and you know, everyone else somewhere in the middle.
Okay. So Brent, then what do you think about that? Then do you think the unpopular people will team up and work together?
No. No, because that assumes that the people in the house realize who's popular and who's not. You have somebody like Chrissy who thinks she's popular. The house guests think she's popular. And, I mean, what's she going to do? I mean, like, she doesn't know enough to be able to do something. Oh, did Alex actually?
Alex got it.
She
27
got it.
Minutes.
Wow.
Okay, there you
she
go.
She beat it. So,
Alex,
yeah,
finally
we're not going to have
time.
Everyone time out. That's not happening.
Yeah,
okay.
Alex finally put up a time. I don't necessarily know if it's a winning time, but she put up 27 minutes and some odd change. So, yeah.
Okay, so there we go. So don't have to worry about that scenario anymore. But for a minute there, I wasn't looking at Alex. I thought we were dealing with another Chrissy winning HOH scenario, which was great 2 weeks ago. If you want to see that video, if you're listening to the audio version, robiswebsite.com/YT to see that. That was quite hilarious. This question is from Lewis750. Lewis says, what was Scott's biggest mistake? Alex,
being too loyal to Alex and to Shelby and to really just all of those girls, just not being willing to, you know, cut ties and burn bridges to save himself. You know, when you need alliances, you need friends, you need allies to move through this game, but you also need to know when a ship is sinking and when you need to do everything possible to start A, bailing water, and then B, when you need to recognize that the boat's going down, there's nothing you can do, and so you try to, like, beat someone else to the life raft. You know what I mean? That's all you can do at that point. It's one life raft. It only seats one. There's two of you. Don't give it to Alex, man. That means you die. That's just... It's just how it is.
And that's exactly what he did. He gave it to Alex. He was totally willing to take his medicine this week. Totally willing to take his medicine, fall on his sword. You know, all I want to do is push you girls forward. He was even all verklempt about the fact that maybe Whitney is going over to the Misfit side. And he was like praying to God literally in the Big Brother house earlier today saying, please don't let that happen. Please let Whitney stay with the Ball Smashers and be loyal to them. Like, come on, dude, I love you, but you're killing me here. Like, you got to be able to play the game. And, like, who cares if you betray Alex and get her up on the block and save yourself this week? That gives you a chance to win. I think he just became so convinced of the fact that he screwed up himself during week one by voting out Cornbread, and he just could never forgive himself for that mistake. And it's a totally forgivable error. He made a mistake. Move on. And things can change in the Big Brother house. Like Danny, for instance, you know, becoming someone that I am rooting for now. And I wasn't rooting for Danny before. I think Scott, likewise, even though he had been nominated by America, he doesn't know how close that vote was. And I have to believe it was really close based on the polls we were seeing. And so he definitely could have gotten to the end and possibly won the game. He just gave up so easily. It really, really did trouble me.
We talked about, like, people not being able to maintain, like, game-level awareness for the duration of Big Brother and how hard that is to, like, stay locked in every day of every week. And there are great players who even aren't able to, you know, every day show up on the feeds and just kind of deliver strategically. Mm-hmm. Like, even the great players take a day off and just go to the pool. So, I think with Scott, I really feel like last week, this kind of speaks to the fact that last week, at least in my mind, he was pretty convinced he was going to go home over Neely. And that's why you saw him do that crazy stuff, like try to antagonize Danielle. Like, it really now, I think, seems very clear that those were like the desperate acts of someone who was confident that he was screwed. And I think when he ended up staying over Neely, he was so surprised that, you know, he's already in a position where he's kind of checked himself out and made peace with not winning this game. And so I guess it was very hard for him to, like, work himself back to contention in his mind. I could see how he would already be at a place where he says, like, well, now it's just a free ride. You know, if I go this week now, well, I should have gone last week, so that's fine. When that's not the mentality you want to have.
All right, let's take another question. This one is from Chris Erickson. Chris says, do you think Alex Morgan and Shelby will realize that they, in fact, pushed Whitney out? They were about to boot Whitney, and they said as much. So what do you think about that? Yeah, do you think they know that, Brent, or do you even agree with that?
No, and I don't think Whitney knows that either. She doesn't really know that they were really ready to vote her out. I mean, I think that she felt like that they were part of the reason she got put up on the block, and that's debatable. I mean, it was definitely part of it, but it was also Danielle making deals with them. And then remember, Danielle also changed her mind at the last minute. She was going to put Morgan on the block, and then all of a sudden she decided it was a good idea to put Whitney on the block because she viewed Whitney as a weaker competitor, and she also thought she didn't want to have somebody like Morgan mad at her. Then she totally compounded the whole damn thing by nominating both of them within the same damn week. So, Danielle wasn't doing herself any favors there, but I lost my train of thought. Who was I complaining about?
To be honest, I was looking at questions that I'm going to pull, Brent, so I don't know who were complaining about.
Like I said, it was Whitney and the Ball Smashers.
Whitney and the Ball Smashers,
right?
Yes.
Exactly. I think that I do not believe that it was totally their fault that Whitney has gone the way of extricating herself, at least partially, from the Ball Smashers. I think it's the ramification of her being a have not with Justin, and also weirdly ending up on the block. Like, I swear 24 hours before the nominees were to be announced, she was never in the process of being a nominee. Only at the very last minute did Danielle up and decide that I'm going to nominate Whitney. And if that doesn't happen, Whitney's still with the Ball Smashers and everything is fine.
All right, this next question is from Jeff Dime. Jeff says, who was the biggest casting misfire? Cornbread catfishing casting into thinking he's the next Larry the Cable Guy, or Chrissy? Alex Kidwell, what do you think?
I don't know. How am I supposed to answer that, Jordan?
Well, who's worse casting, Chrissy or Cornbread?
I mean,
you want to plead the fifth?
I kind of do, right? Because Cornbread was so bad and just so oblivious to what was going on. But Chrissy's so frustrating, and she keeps wanting to, like, check the rule book and make sure, like, people are allowed to do things that they're obviously allowed to do. So, I don't.
Okay, well, I have an answer. I have an answer. Chrissy obviously is great casting. I mean, I don't care what you think about Chrissy, but what you want from people is you want to elicit a reaction out of them. You want people to either be like, yes, I love this person, or ugh, no, I can't stand the person, I hate that person. So I think Chrissy was great casting. Cornbread's like, eh, I don't know. I mean, he said some really unfortunate things, which I'm not happy about. So I would say Cornbread is worse casting. Brent, what do you think?
I think that Alex and I are going to vote you off the island for saying that Chrissy was good casting. Yeah, that's not good.
Well, hey, I don't. Here's the thing. I don't like Chrissy. I don't. I'll just be straight up. I'm not a Chrissy fan. Based on what I've seen this past week, seems like, you know, she's turned things around, which are good, which is good. But yeah. I don't. Just some of the other stuff. Some of the other stuff. I'm like, nah, I don't really like it so much. So
a little bit. Like,
but just, the fact that I think that, and the fact that you don't like her so much, Brent, that means she's good casting.
Okay, just FYI, after the eviction, you know, the girls were kind of moping around a little bit because, you know, even though that Scott was not one of the ball smashers, he was still a number for their side, and he obviously did care about them, and I think they felt bad about ending his dream and, or, you know, at least having an indirect part of that. So Chrissy goes into the bathroom where they're all holed up and says, hey, guys, I just want you to know that I understand how you feel. I know it's really hard when someone on your side goes home because I know how that feels. So, again, it's all about Chrissy. It's not about them. It's about Chrissy and how Chrissy feels and how Chrissy felt last week. And she wants them to know how she felt last week when Neely went home. So, yeah, exactly. That's why we can't stand it.
All right. Let's take a couple more questions. I'm looking here. This one is from Laurel and Braun. Laurel says, if they morph the sisters in this HOH comp and it looked just like Alex, would anyone figure out the sister twist?
That's a good one.
Nope.
Bravo. You get a Scott clap from me, Laurel. That was a very good question. All right. Okay. This one is from Shay Jenkins. Shay says, which care package winners would make for the best feeds this week? So, again, slightly different question. We were saying HOH earlier. Feeds, care package in particular. Brent?
I think that for the best feeds, it would probably be some, like, we need to have an Alex Jason HOH reign. That's what we need to have.
Yeah.
Like, we need to have them up there trying to, like, work out something together and force them to work together. On balance, I think Jason wants to work with Alex more than Alex wants to work with Jason, at least currently as the house stands. And that would be an interesting dynamic to see the two of them trying to work together. Especially if they couldn't come to an agreement. I would like to see that all. But it does behoove them to come to an agreement because they don't know where America's nominee is going to end up, and they have to make their nominees before America's makes their nominees. So
right.
You really don't want a chance in and just leave it up to America. You'd kind of like to take fate into your own hands and make a deal with the other side. So that's why I would support Alex and Scott for some amalgamation of HOH and co-HOH. And by the way, hey, Shay, I follow you all the time on Twitter. Love her tweets. Girl, bye.
All right.
Love her.
Alex, what do you agree with that? Because I don't know. Maybe it would be why. I mean, I guess it's so hard in there. I was going to say, yeah, be ballsy and just put all your chips on the table and say, all right, you put up someone from our side. I'll put up someone from your side and we'll let America decide. But America really has been all over the place this season. So it's so unpredictable.
Yeah, no, if you're smart, you don't want to do that. You want, like, there's so much you can't control on this OTT season, and the vast majority of everything is beyond your control. So anything you can control, you've got to, like, just latch on and not let any of it slip through your fingers. That's way important, I think, in this season, is to maintain whatever grip you can on directing the outcome of this thing. Because you're right. I mean, it's just a ship that's being thrown about in the waves. So you got to try to steer somehow at some point.
All right, this next question, and I'm not laughing at that, Alex. I'm laughing at this question here. It's from Callie.
What was a joke? So you can laugh at it, Jordan.
Laugh at him all the time. It's fine.
So sorry, Alex. So just me throwing you under the bus once again. All right, this question's from Callie. Callie says, don't you think Justin has a good chance of winning this comp, seeing as he spends most of his time looking at the ladies?
Lord, yeah. Somebody, I think it was Callie. I saw her in the chat room. She was in our chat room. I don't know if she was the one who was saying that Justin might win this competition because he has a photographic memory. I didn't actually hear that. So, and if he does, why wasn't he looking at those pictures from the last HOH competition instead of dancing around the house while everyone else was trying to study? So I don't know. I'm not really buying that he has a photographic memory, but it would be hilarious to see him win this competition. If Justin was the winner of the HOH competition, then I really would support giving Whitney the HOH, the co-HOH care package, because then that would force both of them to declare their side and pick who they want to go after. I think they'd actually go after Danielle. I really do.
Wow. Okay. What do you, Alex, what do you think? That's an interesting, because I know I did see that, I heard, I think it was yesterday with Rob, you got, Taryn was saying that Justin has even talked about targeting Danielle, but I feel like that's a really aggressive move if Justin and Whitney are to be the co-HOHs to go after her this soon.
I'm still stuck on this eidetic memory thing, Jordan, photographic memory. Like, there's like 1% of people have it, and every Big Brother season, 5 people claim it. I'm sorry, you don't have it. You don't.
Hey, you're Ian, like, well, has it. Ian has it.
I see it. I don't know that he does, though. Maybe Ian does. He's like, well, one person that maybe I'd be willing to have the entertain the conversation. But just because you see a picture and later you can think about the picture, that's not what a photographic memory is, people. Like, I think there's been some kind of disconnect somewhere along the line here.
You dig?
By the way, I just want to say, announce to the panel that Chrissy is now currently competing in the HOH competition. Can we fast forward 30 minutes here and just get to the end of this, please? Thank you.
Watch her just bang it out in 7 minutes and be like, fuck
Whoa.
You, Brent.
Whoa. Whoa.
It's my, the one that's screwing everybody up, and they're talking about it in the chat room, and I also noticed this because the camera kept panning to the Monty placard that was like on the ground during Alex's run, and Monty is on the second morph, and no one seems to be able to notice that. His eyes are not very descript, and there's nothing like about his bulky body or anything that gives it away. So most people are probably not going to get that one.
I'd like to apologize to the chat room for my language. It's 2 a.m.
No. Okay.
I'm not okay. Myself.
That's okay.
It's okay. Alex, you are forgiven, sir. hypothetically, okay, let's say if Chris, let's say your dream comes true, Brent. Chrissy wins HOH. If it's like a, I don't know, Chrissy and Jason or Chrissy and Whitney HOH, who from the Ball Smashers side of the house do you think they are going to go after? And who do you think it would make the most sense for them to target?
I think she would pick up where she left off. During week three when she won HOH and wanted to go after Alex, I think she would probably try to go after Alex. I think that's what they really want to do. They view her as the head of the alliance. I'm still sort of stunned that Danielle didn't get rid of Alex this week when she probably maybe could have.
Mm-hmm.
And I say that only because Scott would have worked with her. Somehow she let Jason get in her ear about like America served him up to us and we've got to take a swing at him while we can. Otherwise America will hate us. Bitch, that's not how it works, you know? And we don't hate Scott just because we nominated him. Certainly a big bunch of us don't hate Scott. Just some people didn't really like Scott. So it bugs me when people do stuff like that.
He's a polarizing character, that Virgin King, Alex. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, he certainly is that.
Yeah, poor guy. I think the thing with him was either people really liked him or really hated him. There was no in between, which is why, Brent, we're seeing a lot of the reason why I think he went up. But
I love it. Just FYI, people are freaking out in the chat room because they're like, Chrissy keeps getting all these right, but she has a couple wrong. And the problem is once you start, you don't know what's wrong. So you start fixing things that are right and turning them into wrong answers, and then you're totally off track, and it before you know it, 30 minutes goes by.
Yeah, Alex seemed like she was really close pretty early on too, but she just kept changing answers that were correct, and before you know it, yeah.
Before you know it. All right. I'm trying to find a question or two before we get out of here because it is very late on the East Coast for Brent and Alex and for a lot of people watching. So we thank you guys for staying up with us on the night shift here on the Rehappy Hour. I'm going to kill some time here and talk while I scroll and look through these questions. I don't really see a lot. So Brent, do you have any thoughts, any final thoughts before we wrap things up?
No, I mean, I think the reason we don't have any questions is because we don't have an HOH. I mean, they waited forever to get this going, by the way. And, until we know a little bit more about who is going to control the power this week, I don't think there's much to talk about. I mean, we still have two sides of the house. There's a little bit of jelly in the middle with Whitney and Justin. And, I have to think that if the Ball Smashers get somehow sort of, if they control HOH either by way of care package or some other way, they're going to go after Jason. And if the Misfits side gets power, they're going to go after Alex. The only question is what happens if somebody like Whitney or Justin somehow becomes HOH or co-HOH. What do they do then? It says here that I think Whitney will follow whatever the HOH wants to do. Justin, I don't know. He could get a hair up his ass and want to do something on his own. So I don't know. We'll see.
Did you see how Justin was like, how he looked legitimately scared, Alex, during that like little presentation before the veto? It was so funny. Like, yeah, you can see Danielle is like got a huge grin on her face. And Justin's like, oh, man, like he was legitimately scared.
Well, Justin's from New Orleans. I mean, he knows better than to mess around with, you know, bad juju and ghosts and stuff like this. These aren't joking matters, Jordan. And I'm inclined to agree.
Oh, man. I thought that was hilarious.
By the
better way, safe than sorry.
I am terrified. Chrissy just got the hardest one correct. But she,
yeah,
she doesn't
she's
know
like
it's
five
correct,
minutes in.
Though. She got Monty on number two, which is the one that's been screwing everybody up. So I'm hoping that she changes it and turns it into a wrong answer.
She's making
I'm
a real
terrible.
Good time.
And she's looking at it right now, too. Oh, God.
Wow, wow.
Podcasting that, I love.
That, the Alex Kidwell prophecy of F you, Brent. It may come true.
Oh, my God. It's like she's that close to winning right now. Really.
Chrissy, the comp beast. The
well,
comp
the full
beast.
Prophecy can't come true because she doesn't know who we are. But the rest
no,
of it.
No.
No. Okay. Alex, anything you want to add before we wind things down?
No. It's always fun. Always a pleasure talking with you guys on the late night. I like these shows on Wednesday. I wish the HOH was a little further advanced, but this is going to be going, I think, maybe for a little while. So at least people have, if you've got nothing to do in your wee hours on Thursday morning, bon appetit.
Yeah, I think maybe production was also watching Cubs Indians, Alex. So perhaps that's why there was a delay in this thing getting started.
Yeah, are we starting the comp yet? Screw you, bottom ninth.
Bottom ninth? No, bottom
shut up
of the tenth.
Shut
bottom
up in there. Yeah,
yeah, exactly.
We'll feed you when we tell you it's time for food.
All right. Well, thank you to everybody who tuned in for this edition of the Happy Hour. Wish we had an HOH results for you, but. You guys are in luck. There's going to be a bonus show tomorrow. There is a new contest for the new live feed correspondent, which is going to kick off tomorrow night. So Brent is going to host that podcast. So that should be a lot of fun. It's a Brent takeover with Brent's team. I'm very excited to tune in and listen to that one. So they will keep you posted on what's happening with who won HOH. What the game plan is, all that kind of stuff. Brent can continue his campaign to continue his HOH reign across America. So definitely tune in and check that out to hear what Brent and his new team of live feed correspondents have to say. I believe that will be on this YouTube channel. So if you subscribe, robiswebsite.com/YT, you'll get that here. And you can watch them live at 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 p.m. Pacific. It will also be on iTunes in the Reality TV Rahapups feed. Go to robiswebsite.com/Rahapups if you want to get that. Okay,
way,
guys.
My
go
last
ahead, Brent.
My last update, and then I'll shut up. Chrissy is like literally changing all the right answers. So
oh!
Like, it's the best possible thing. Like and see, this is what happens. See, people think it's easy. Like she was so close, but then you hit the buzzer and you hear that sound that you're wrong and you're like, F it. You're like, oh my God, what do I have? And then you start panicking and now she's panicking and like five of them are wrong now. So yeah. Mm.
Oh, well. Okay. Well, stay tuned for that. If you're watching live, it should be results. If you're listening to this on your commute in the morning, I'm sure the results will be out by then. Unless this thing gets rained out, like I thought the game 7 of the World Series was going to. Okay. Hashtag guys for tonight. Any ideas? I know chat room. I'm looking. I don't really see anything in the chat. I was thinking just a simple F you, Brent, if you don't mind, Brent.
Oh, please. Thank you.
Okay. Then there we go. So the hashtag for tonight is F you, Brent. Don't forget to follow these guys on Twitter. Alex is at Alex Kidwell. Brent is at One Lucky Gay. Rob Sesternino will be back on Friday on RHAP with Alex Kidwell and Taryn Armstrong. And then the three LFC members, Alex, Brent, and Taryn, will be live with me again on Sunday to preview the nominations. And
I've got a show on Saturday afternoon, Jordan.
Oh, that's right.
Coming
I
at
forgot
you fast
that.
And furious.
Yeah, so Alex has a show on Saturday.
No
so
days
really,
off.
Yeah, there are no days off. So yeah, if we look at the schedule, we've got Brent, We've got Brent tomorrow at 7 p.m. Eastern. We've got Rob on Friday. I believe that's at 5 p.m. Pacific, 8 p.m. Eastern. We've got Alex on Saturday at 3 p.m. Eastern. Yeah. Myself, Brent, Taryn, and Alex at, I guess, 7 p.m. Eastern on Sunday. And then Monday, Taryn's got his own thing going on. I believe that one is also at 7 p.m. Eastern. So basically a show every day for who knows how long. So keep it locked to robiswebsite.com for more information about that if you're confused about the schedule. Okay, I think that's going to do it, guys. Thank you so much to everybody who watched us live. We will see you soon. For Alex Kidwell and Brent Walkamon, I'm Jordan Parhar. Hashtag FU Brent. We'll talk to you soon. Take care. Peace out. The theme song of the reality TV Rehappy Hour is written and performed by Ryan Elder. Check out more of his work at ryanelder.music.com.